Hey, this is H1. We're going to be running it back with another episode talking about chess knowledge, chess wisdom, and chess understanding. And today we will be discussing the Candidates Chess Tournament of 2022. What happened? And plus, what is a Candidates Tournament? I know a lot of people are beginners who are listening to this podcast who doesn't know what the Candidates Chess Tournament is. What is it? Why does it matter? Who cares about it, right? It's just some silly tournament that happens every 2 years, and whoever wins the tournament gets to face off against Magnus Carlsen to get the World Chess Championship. Who cares about that? Did I just tell you about the whole podcast, what I'm going to be talking about, just in that one sentence? No, H1 wouldn't do that. So I'm going to be discussing more in depth what the Candidates Tournament is, how it started, etc. So, hey, just sit back, relax with me, and just eat your Cheetos, and or if you're driving, you know, chillax, put me on a good volume because this mic is new, you know. So, warning on that, and let's just move on to the next segment. Man, I'm so glad to be back. Let's get it. What is the Candidates Tournament? Well, the Candidates Tournament is part of the World Chess Championship cycle. So, that makes it the second most important tournament in the chess community, because this determines who's going to be facing off against the World Chess Champion. Now, since 2013, the Candidates Tournament has been every 2 years, and at the moment, Magnus Carlsen has been world champion all this time. Now, the Candidates Tournament has been played worldwide with some of the legendary chess players we know today, such as, let me just share this list: Bobby Fischer, Garry Kasparov, Tigran Petrosian, Paul Karras, Mikhail Tal, Paul Benko, Bent Larsen, Boris Spassky, Anatoly Karpov, Boris Gelfand, Vichy Anand, Gata Kamsky, Vladimir Kramnik, and Mikhail Tal. Mikhail Bobrinnik. And if you don't know any of those chess players that I just named off, then you need to learn the classics and actually study these people who have been playing chess for generations now, because these are the people who gave us the chess principles that we have today. And that's why you need to be studying these people. And all these past grandmasters who have been either world champion or not, or went through the Candidates Tournament, they had a major impact in chess today. So this is how important the Candidates Tournament is, especially if you know half of these people, right? So, you know, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the Candidates Tournament. The next segment, we're going to be going over, when did the Candidates Tournament start? This is the waiting room segment. Chess quotes by H1. And the chess quote of today is, discipline is greater than motivation. Thank you for listening. Back to the podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When did the Candidates Tournament start? And you might be thinking, man, it must have been in 1850 when there were kings and queens and actual knights with people on horses and chariots and fire wheels. Beat that. It must have been then, right? It must have been then. It had to have been then. No, this was actually a more recent thing, because if you remember, back in the day, back in Paul Morphy's day, you had to have a lot of money to face off against a top chess player. Like, a lot of money. Basically, you have to raise about $1 million on your own just to face off against a top chess player. that's how these chess players back then were world chess champion, were world chess champions for a while. And I know it might seem unfair, but that was the lay of the land back then. I can't judge them. It was probably like that for a reason. Chess didn't bring a lot of money back then. Just think about it. Chess is really popular right now because of the internet. But back then, they had books. They had scrolls. It wasn't that far. They probably had paper. Let me stop playing. But anyway, the Canada's tournament actually started in 1948. And the people who organized the Canada's tournament back then was FIDE. FIDE is very prevalent, and FIDE stands for the International Chess Federation. I had to look that up. And it was funny because when I was looking it up, they brought up Fidelity. And I'm like, what? No. Who wants to talk about a bank right now? It's not Fidelity. It's the, you know, the federal thing. So back then, in the 1950s, it used to be every 3 years. But they turned it to every 2 years after 2013. I wonder why. My guess is that maybe they just wanted it to be more interesting, and they wanted people to be more inclined to keep up to date on the World Chess Champion. Maybe that 1 year, everybody just lost interest. That would be weird, huh? If everybody was like, dang, now we gotta wait a year and a half? That sucks. I guess more people are inclined to watch the Olympics every 4 years than a chess tournament, which maybe is true. Maybe it's true. I love the Winter Olympics or the other Olympics. I watched the Winter Olympics with my daughter one time, and she was pretty happy to watch it, especially seeing like what's the part where they go down the little mountain? Not, it wasn't a little mountain, but they went down the mountain on their boards. I don't know. Subway Surfer? I don't know. But anyway, let's talk about why the Candidates Tournament is important. And like I said before, the Candidates Tournament is important because you get to find out who's going to beat the world champion or who's going to challenge the world champion, right? And the world champion right now is Magnus Carlsen. We just had a Candidates Tournament in 2022, and we found out who the winner was of that tournament, which I will be discussing at the end of the episode. So that is why the Canada's tournament is important. But we're going to have to answer this one question. How do you get invited to the Canada's tournament currently? Well, the Canada's tournament have one wildcard selection, and it is normally picked by the tournament organizer. And then the top two finishers of the FIDE World Cup qualify for the Canada's tournament. So you got to beat all the people in this FIDE World Cup, which is, it's not just five people. It's a lot of people, a lot of tough grandmasters who can't wait to get into the Canada's tournament to give out their opening theories and their ideas, and can't wait to show Magnus Carlsen who's boss, because he's been in charge for too long and I need to take him down. That's what I wish that people would have, that mentality. But it seems like every time somebody face off against Magnus Carlsen at the World Chess Championship, they just lose. Or lose interest, at least. Or get scared. Which is irritating, but hey. Yeah, I guess we gotta take it as it is. But anyway, let me just repeat that the top two finishers of the FIDE World Cup qualify for the Candidates Tournament, and the top two finishers of the FIDE Grand Prix qualify for the Candidates Tournament, and the winner of the FIDE Grand Swiss Tournament qualifies for the Candidates Tournament. So these are like secondary to the Candidates Tournament. These are behind the Candidates Tournament, and these tournaments are important to look at and to figure out, oh snap, who's going to be part of becoming the challenger of Magnus Carlsen. Now, the player with the highest average rating for the year qualifies for the Canada's tournament. So that would be the second highest rated player right now, because the highest classical rated player is Magnus Carlsen. The runner-up in the previous World Championship match qualifies for the Canada's tournament, and that would be Jan Nepo for 2023. Man, if you remember that World Chess Championship tournament, I'm not gonna lie, it was disappointing. You know I can't lie to y'all, I'm H1. It was pretty disappointing at like half the tournament, he decided to play like, I don't know, like me. He messed up like me. I can't lie, he messed up like me. And it was disappointing because I thought that he would bring like a more energetic type of game style and get off of this boring Roy Lopez that Magnus Carlsen wasn't fazed by, but he didn't. He just kept on going with this idiotic opening plan, which it wasn't idiotic. It probably would have worked on somebody like, I don't know, Hikaru Nakamura or Fabiola Caruana or Anish Giri, but Magnus Carlsen is a different beast. He needs somebody to try to match his energy and be better than him in these tactical games. And then plus, Magnus Carlsen isn't getting any younger. He's getting older. And statistically, after 30, you know, your chess rating plateaus. That's what they say, at least. Don't tell Anad that, because these grandmasters that are older, it's not that many, but hey, they still can get down. They still are able to play like 5-minute, 3-minute chess on the chessboard. Don't be stereotyping these older chess players. They know what they're doing. But that is pretty much who will qualify for the candidates tournament of every 2 years. Man, you know what's crazy? This is why I have to do this every day, because I forgot how to talk, and H1 hasn't did this in a while. So hey, just bear with me and we're gonna get through this together. You know what I mean? All right, in the next segment, we're going to be talking about what is the candidates tournament format for 2022, and who are the 2022 players of the candidates tournament. And then we're going to talk about who won, of course, and what was the prize pool of the candidates tournament of 2022. Let's get to it. Have you been trying to become a better chess player but didn't know how? Well, it seems like you need Aim Chess. Aim Chess is an AI-powered software that can help you analyze your games. It already has over 100,000 registered users on the platform working towards becoming better chess players. But how? Well, you can automatically download your games from your Elite Chess, Chess24, and Chess.com accounts. Then you can get personalized lessons using mistakes from your own games and improve your chess immediately. So, you can either go to aimchess.com on your browser or download Aim Chess on your phone to get started for free. If you want to upgrade your account with no limits, you can get your first month subscription 30% off by using my coupon code H1Chess30. That is H1Chess30. Thank you for listening. So, I know this is where you wanted to be at, and you're here with H1. Let me just remind you that you made a good decision by listening to this podcast again, because, you know, just as you have been lonely, which I am assuming, can I not assume in 2022? Can I not be assumptuous? Is that a word? I don't know. But since you was lonely, clearly, and I was lonely, then that makes us the right match. So, hey, I just want to give you a reminder right now to follow, stay notified, so that you can be up to date on the chess news and chess knowledge, chess wisdom, and chess understanding. And if you love this podcast enough and you don't want to use your money, which I'm not begging you for, I don't need your money. I'm H1. I don't need it. I'm a G already. Doing this, yeah, just follow, just leave me a like, you know, be nice. But anyway, who are the 2022 players of the candidates tournament? Who are they? Let's get into it. So we got Jan Duda, Ding Liren, Fabiano Caruana. Hey, that was my favorite. I thought that he was gonna win, but he disappointed me with some games. I can't lie, he disappointed me. We got Tamar Rajabov, Alireza Faruja. Disappointed there too, because I was doing some videos on Twitter which my Twitter account is H1Chess, and I was thinking that Alireza Faruja was going to win, or at least be second. I didn't know he was going to be like somewhere at the bottom. I didn't know he was going to do that. But anyway, we got Hikaru Nakamura, Jan Nepo, and Richard Rapper. And, you know, when I was watching this game, not game, but tournament, I was pretty disappointed because my top two picks was Fabiano Caruana and Alireza Faruja. And my prediction didn't become... I didn't see the things happening in the future, which is annoying because I want to see the things happen in the future. I want to do options trading and I want to like get money really quickly on my stock market. And so I was thinking, right? I was thinking, why didn't Fabiano Caruana win? Why didn't Alireza win? And I kind of wanted Alireza Faruja to win because I wanted Magnus Carlsen to be excited on playing the next World Chess Championship tournament against somebody who wants to play, because he made a claim in some articles that all he wanted to face was Alireza Faruja, or he would quit, or he would not face that person anymore, or he wasn't going to play the next World Chess Championship anymore. And so I was confused. I was like, man, well, let me give the underdog a chance. I never do that at all, because if you haven't listened to my last episodes, you know that I'm a big Magnus Carlsen fan. And my brother hates when I say this, but Magnus Carlsen would tear up Bobby Fischer in some chess matches. Yes, I said it. I'm H1, so what? And so I was disappointed that Alireza Faruja didn't get the place that I wanted him to get. And I was disappointed on Fabiano Caruana, because I genuinely do think that Fabiano Caruana is the best classical rated player in the whole entire world. Just based on pretty much the World Chess Championship, and what year was it? The last one that he faced Magnus Carlsen in. That World Chess Championship match was awesome. It wasn't awesome seeing all the draws, because there were 12 draws and then they had to play rapid games, so neither of them won any game in the classical match. But that has never happened in any World Chess Championship. That has never happened before. That's a weird occurrence to happen, that Magnus Carlsen couldn't beat Fabiano in a classical match, and Fabiano couldn't beat Magnus Carlsen, but they both got close. Even though it was 12 draws until they had to go to like some rapid games to get the decisive person to be World Chess Championship, those draws were excited. They was in Sicilians. You saw all kinds of openings, and you knew that they was going for each other's throat. You knew it. So it was interesting. And I wanted Fabiano Caruana to have another chance. I didn't really care about like Hikaru Nakamura having another chance, because he's already successful. He's cool. He didn't even care about the Candidates Tournament. His job is streaming, so who cares about that? I kinda wanted Dean Laren to have a chance too, because this was his time to shine in the Candidates Tournament after they had to disqualify Sergei Kuryakin. But, you know, I digress. Let's figure out who actually won. Actually, before I tell you the standings, let's go through the time control format of what happened. There were 8 players to compete in a double round robin tournament, 14 rounds. The time control was 120 minutes for the first 40 moves, 16 minutes for the next 20 moves, then 15 minutes for the rest of the game with a 30-second increment per move starting on move 61. And remember, these are classical games, because these tournaments are really important. Only in classical matches that you can tell the difference between each player. Because only in a classical, you don't want a world champion to be decided based off of a blitz game, because you don't want the deciding factor to be a knight fork blunder. That would be crazy. Like, we have a world champion because of a simple Night Fork blunder because they was running low on time? That's insane. No, nobody wants that. So that's why these games have to be long and drawn out. I appreciate it. It can't be some silly blitz tournament or bullet tournament. We don't want that. Unless it's like a Armageddon match. Because nobody wants to just see a draw. Nobody wants to see, oh, two people or three people got first place. Nobody wants to see that. We want to know who won. We don't want to see participate. There's no participation trophies here. We want to see who is the best and who is the worst. Sadly enough. And hopefully the person who got the worst rating or the worst end of the stick, hopefully they come back next year or the year after that and be a boss and just learn from that experience and come with some revenge. That's what I want over the chessboard. You know? Revenge is different on the chessboard than in football. Just remember that. Nobody's like, there's no contact. Nobody's getting hurt. The only thing that you can have during a chess tournament is like a maybe a bad migraine one day, maybe. But even then, you could just take some Motrin. Just take some Tylenol, take some ibuprofen, you'll be straight. But anyway, let's get back into it. So the time control is 120 minutes for the first 40 moves. I already said all that, right? You can always just rewind, go back into what I said. So the draws by mutual agreement are not allowed before Black's 40th move. And this is a rule because they don't want grandmasters drawing on move 1 or move 10 or move 20. It has happened before, and some grandmasters would take advantage of this because here's the thing. People have bad days, and other stuff happens too where it's not in the interest of the viewers who are watching if a simple draw happens, especially because of a friendship too. Then you can realize, oh snap, why didn't he finish that game after move 40? And you'd be like, nope, I don't like that. You can't, nope, you got to finish that. There's more to play there. It encourages bloodthirsty games, I guess we can say. It encourages that. And that's what makes the game of chess exciting. And maybe in the future it might get faster just to get some nuance in there, but I don't know. Tell me what you think. I love these long drawn out games. But anyway, next to the point, players earn 1 point for a win, 0.5 points for a draw, and 0 points for a loss. The player with the most points at the end of the 14 rounds becomes the champion. The winner earns the right to face off against Magnus Carlsen in the 2023 FIDE World Chess Championship. And that's pretty much the format of the tournament. And in this tournament, the prize pool is $535,000, which is divided up to all the chess players who are in the candidates tournament. So this isn't like $500,000 just going to the first place person or the first three people. This is divided up to everybody since everybody contributed their whole life to this chess career. Because it's a lot of effort to get into the candidates tournament. You're basically giving away your whole life to be that person, that guy. You work 8 hours a day. You put in your 10,000 hours to become great at something. You put in those hours. You sacrificed wifing up somebody, having kids. You sacrificed all that to be in this candidates tournament, and that's why everybody gets money. You know, but the first place person gets more money, etc., because, you know, they're the best out of the other seven. So, we're to the point right now. What was the standings of the 2022 candidates tournament? Well, first place was Jan Nepo. He scored 9.5. It was 14 games. Remember that. So it was 9.5 points out of 14. Ding Liren was second, which was crazy because that would have been cold. I love Ding Liren's game. And I'm not like biased because he plays the Catalan. Don't say that. You know how I feel about the Catalan. But Ding Liren is just he's just a great player. I've seen some of his attacking games. It's really great. Y'all should study up on his games. Perfect. All right. So he got 8 8 points out of 14. Taimur Rajabov got 7.5 points out of 14, which was crazy. Wasn't expecting it. I was expecting the players that were under him to get more points than him. But, okay, fourth place was Hikaru Nakamura with 7.5 points out of 14. Same points as Taimur Rajabov. I wish that they would have, like, played one more game to get out of that, oh, we both got third place kind of sector, but you know, it is what it is. But I guess out of the games that they won, they put Taimur Rajabov third place and then Hikaru Nakamura fourth place. And then fifth place is Fabiana Caruana with 6.5 points out of 14. Now, the thing is, I was watching this tournament and I was seeing the games that Fabiana Caruana was playing in the first few rounds. And I was disappointed in the second half. Honestly, why did he lose that many games? Why did he draw that many games? Why did he mess up? And this happens all the time when you're on like a winning streak. It happens to me too. It happens to each chess player. But man, it sucks when somebody's tilting that hard. Especially when you're rooting for him. I put out a whole video. I might take it down. But anyway, the person who was under Fabiana Caruana's Alireza Faruja with 6 points had a bad first half. Bad first half. But, you know, he's there. Seventh place was Jan Duda. And then eighth place was Richard Rapport, which is crazy. Now, clearly, Jan Nepo won the most games. Clearly. Just went on a winning streak for, like, most of the tournament. He played some good games. Fabiana Caruana went on a winning streak for, like, the first three games. And then just started losing? All of a sudden? Don't know why. It's crazy that it happened, but it did. And nobody can do anything about it. I can't go back in time. I wish I could, but I can't. And I think that's pretty much it of the Canada's tournament. I'm trying to look at my notes to see if there's anything else, anything more. Jan Nepo just demolished everybody. I'm trying to see if there was one game that he lost. He drawn a few games, but I don't want to say this saying yet until I realize that he didn't lose any game. He didn't lose any game. I'm looking at all the rounds that he played. He didn't lose any games in this tournament. Wow, that is crazy. That is nuts. I guess he was the right person to be playing in the World Chess Championship, even though he had such a poor match against Magnus Carlsen. But we're going to see if he can come back and redeem himself, which this is what I wanted to see. You know that he had the revenge mindset, and you know that he had to prove himself this past year because everybody was giving him a whole lot of crap. And even I was wondering, why did you do this plan? And now he's going to be like, I'm going to prove you wrong, H1. And he better just prove me wrong because I want people to succeed. So if he came at me and he was like, H1, I didn't appreciate the episode that you put out saying that I was trash, which I would tell him, first of all, I didn't say that you was trash. Maybe I kind of slid in like the era of saying that your idea was trash during the game, and maybe you wasn't more aggressive enough or the competitor that I thought that you would be for Magnus Carlsen. Maybe I said those words. I wouldn't call you refuse, okay? I wouldn't call you that. I just be talking. Okay, I'm back in the mood again. I love podcasts. New tip by H1. What is the King's Pawn opening? Well, the King's Pawn opening is initiated by White when White does e4. Now, usually openings that begin with e4 are open positions. It's different from if you push the Queen's Pawn, which is d4, or the C pawn, which would be c4. The queen's pawn usually ends up as closed positions, and the c pawn is usually semi-open positions. Each of these positions have different chess principles that you have to follow, that you have to learn for your future games. Let's get back to the podcast. Yeah, this is the end of the podcast. I know. H1 has that feeling. H1 has been that person all day long where you don't want him to stop talking. But he has made a lot of episodes for you to continue listening to him all day long. Especially since those episodes are never going to get old. They're timeless. I can't repeat those things that I have already said. But why repeat them when my past self was right all the time? Come on, it's H1. It's not H2, it's H1, bro. It's H1. It's kind of like the rook on H1. Come on, it's H1. On a serious note, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I just want to tell you, you made the right decision of listening to the podcast today. And thank you. Be notified for the next one. Follow. Yes, sir. We're out.